thing. Heaven forbid I catch sight of my mate's pussy. Dez! He lifts his hands. I'm facing the door. Want me to plug my ears, too? Yes? No? Maybe? Plug one of them. Now I definitely hear him laugh. Once I'm sure he's not looking and only half listening, I lift my filmy skirt and begin to sit. I let out a very unladylike screech as my ass misses the toilet and I sprawl out on the floor next to it. My skirts are around my head, my unmentionables exposed. Des turns around. I'll give him this. He doesn't laugh, though I'm sure it's taking everything in him not to.
Cherub.
He comes over and helps me up, then properly sets me on the toilet. He brushes my hair back.
What happened?
Alcohol happened. That's what. I cover my face. I'm so embarrassed. Bargainer removes my hands, kissing my knuckles.
At least you didn't start peeing.
I might have.
Oh. Comment redacted, then.
I fucking hate Illyrium liquor. By the time the bathroom incident that we'll never talk about again is behind us, the liquor has worn off somewhat. Des makes a disbelieving noise at the back of his throat. All right, it's worn off just a little.
So little that science doesn't yet have the tools to quantify such a minuscule measurement.
Des says, "Psh, why do you have to be so witty all the time?" He begins to answer when I cover his mouth with my hands. His eyes are still laughing at me. When I'm sure he's not going to say anything else, I remove them. We round a corner and the bathhouse pool comes into view. I squeal at the sight of it and skip run over, tripping only a couple times along the way. I jump into the pool, sighing when the cool water slides against my skin. I was half worried that the water would be oppressively hot, but it carries the perfect chill. I linger underwater, my siren perfectly content to stay down here forever. It might not be the ocean, but it's water, and that's good enough. When I surface, Des sits along the edge of the pool, a knee hiked up.
I'm only letting you swim while inebriated because you're a siren, and I'm 99% sure you're incapable of drowning. Please don't prove me wrong.
Pfft. I swim over to him. You should come in. The water's nice. I'm even nicer, I say, grabbing his hand and tugging.
You know you're unbearably adorable, Cherub.
Aww. He smiles at me. I think he can still hear my thoughts.
I can.
When the bargainer doesn't slide into the water, I release his hand and sink back beneath the pool's surface. If he's content to just watch me swim, then that works too. Oh, and neat trick, if I'm underwater, I can't blabber every single thing that crosses my mind. In fact, I'm pretty content to just lie here at the very bottom of the pool until the end of time. It's a better alternative than the scorching midday heat that I can't otherwise seem to escape. After a minute or so, I rise to the surface once more. How long are we supposed to be here? I ask. It's already evening, but just as night never lifts from Dez's kingdom, the sun never sets in the day kingdom.
Ready to leave so soon?
Does he sound pleased about that? I nod.
We'll leave tomorrow morning right after I meet with Janice.
So essentially we'll leave 3 days from now once the meeting ends. He leans in closer.
Have I mentioned that I like your sassy mouth?
I swim over to him, folding my arms over the edge of the pool. I lean my cheek against them. The cold water is clearing my thoughts a bit. You know a lot of secrets, I say, looking up at him. The corner of the bargainer's mouth curves up.
I do.
But you don't know anything about the Thief of Souls.
I know some things,
Des says, a pinch defensively. Not that many. He presses his lips together like he's stopping himself from arguing further. Instead, he rolls up his shirt sleeves, giving me a tantalizing glimpse of his tattoos. Seriously, how is this guy not taking a bath in his own sweat? I don't get it.
How can you know so much about everything except for the mystery surrounding the Thief of Souls? I ask. Dez glances down at my folded arms. Reaching out, he trails his fingers over the exposed skin.
In order to answer that question, I'd have to tell you how I know so many secrets in the first place.
My brows furrow. You bargain for them.
Not exactly,
Dez says evasively. But I thought that was how he'd built a name for himself.
I built a name for myself through my deals and my brutality.
Right, that too. He continues to stroke the skin of my arm. He's not going to tell me. Dez's fingers stop. He takes a deep breath.
I'll tell you. I want to tell you. It's just...
His eyes flick to mine.
The shadows speak to me.
I give him an incredulous look. The shadows can talk? And Dez can hear them? Seriously? He taps my skin.
Mm-hmm.
Mind is officially blown. I mean, I knew fairies could spin cloth out of moonlight and wear stars in their hair, so this is technically nothing crazier than what I've already seen for myself, but still. That is so fucking cool. A laugh slips out of Dez and his shoulders relax. Apparently he was nervous about telling me.
Cherub, I'm never nervous.
Okay, this freaking liquor is really starting to piss me off. Hate being this transparent. Tell me more, I say.
What do you want to know?
Everything. I just learned that shadows talk. That's so creepy slash awesome. What do they sound like? Does my shadow talk? Does yours? What do they say? Do they have personalities? I could keep going. Dez moves a wet strand of hair from my eyes.
They sound about how you'd imagine shadows to sound. Like whispers. Though their voices vary, just like human and fae voices do. Your shadow talks. Mine, not so much. They don't really have distinct personalities, but they do have moods. And they say all sorts of things, provided they want to talk to you.
Wow, I say. I still can't get over the fact that my shadow has talked to Dez.
She's told me a lot over the years.
Oh, man. Not sure that's a good thing. So shadows have genders? Dez looks painfully reluctant to talk about this.
It depends. Technically, they don't. They're just shadows, but some have more feminine or masculine voices.
Huh. Can anyone else hear them? I ask. He shifts a little.
Not that I'm aware of.
The bargainer looks nervous again.
I'm not nervous.
Oh, wait. I get it. Duh. You know I don't think you're crazy, right? I mean, I guess normally when someone tells you they hear voices, that's your cue to start edging away. But I've been around Dez and the impossible world of Fae for so long that learning this isn't some outlandish revelation. In fact, it explains a lot.
Thank you, Cherub,
he says quietly, taking my hand and threading his fingers between mine. What happens if the shadows don't want to talk to you?
Then they don't talk. But there are ways to cajole them. Sometimes if I want to know something, I give them a little magic. Just enough for them to hop away from their owners for an hour or two. They hate being dragged around.
He shakes his head.
I can't believe I'm actually talking about this.
He says. I can't believe I got him to divulge his big bad secret. And what happens if you want them to shut up?
Same concept. A little magic for their silence.
I glance around. There aren't many shadows in the Day Kingdom, but they do exist even here. Can you get them to talk right now? Dez's eyes seem to spark with interest. His focus turns to the pool. After a moment, he says,
Janice's father, Ignis, apparently used to hold orgies in this pool.
Ew! Dez throws back his head and laughs.
Cherub, it's been well over a century since that last happened.
The sound of his laughter warms me from the inside out. I tug on his hand again. Come on, let's make these shadows whisper about something else. He stares at me for a beat, Right when I'm expecting him to shoot me down, his shoes slide off his feet, followed by his socks. He pivots where he sits, his legs swinging around so that he can dip his feet in the water. I step up, in between those legs, and nip his chin, my hands sliding over his thighs. More, more, more. Daz tilts his head downward.
Do you want to know a secret?
Hmm? He takes my lips in a kiss.
Sometimes I hold out on you simply because I enjoy driving you mad with need. It makes me feel less out of control in love with you.
That's not nice. He laughs low.
Whoever said I was nice?
With that, he slips into the water, plunging beneath the surface. When he rises again, his shirt is slicked to the skin, each fold of it lovingly molded to his chest. There are no words. He took my breath away the first time I saw him, and it's no different now. And he still has that devilish look to him, his features a little too sharp. He screams bad news, which of course is like a rallying cry to my lady parts. His silver eyes dance. Still hearing every damn thought that crosses my mind.
What are the shadows saying now?
I whisper. Daz closes in on me.
They've gone quiet.
Even mine? He stops in front of me, an arm sliding around my waist.
Even yours.
The Thief of Souls? I ask, as a thought comes to me. What do the shadows say about him?
Callie, the Killer of Moments, really is an apt title right about now.
The bargainer's good mood withers away.
The shadows won't speak of him.
Not at all? Daz frowns.
Not a single thing. Whoever the thief is, he has their allegiance. Or their fear.
Chapter 17.
I wake on the ground, my eyes fluttering open.
Ah, you're awake. I thought you'd lay there all night.
My claws lengthen reflexively at the sound of the thief's voice, my nails scraping against the stone beneath me. I went to bed in the Day Kingdom, and I woke here, wherever here is. I sit up slowly and gaze around. The room is done in pale stone. Blood-red vines snake up the walls, strange flowers blooming from them. Across from me is a pool of some sort, the water luminous, and to the left of it the thief reclines against a pillar. A shudder courses through me.
My, what a reaction.
His onyx eyes seem to glitter in this strange place.
I take it you missed me?
Where am I? I ask, rising to my feet. I can't tell whether I'm inside or outside. Behind me, the walls seem to give way to open air and the night sky shines down. But within the walls of this place, wall sconces burn, the sound of it muffled, like cloth snapping in the wind. And amongst it all, the Thief of Souls, his lips soft, his eyes cold, his attention fixed to me. This is a dream. Just a dream. But if it's a dream, and I know it's a dream, then wake up. Wake up. Nothing happens.
Tell me, does the term small death mean anything to you?
The thief asks from where he leans against that pillar. It's just a dream. It's not real.
No,
I say distractedly. It's only after I answer that I process his words. Small death. That does sound familiar. The Thief of Souls smiles.
Come closer and I'll tell you.
How did I get here? I pinch the fabric of the white shift I wear. It's all but translucent. Not what I went to sleep in. The thief pushes off the pillar.
I called, and you came.
My brows knit. His hair and eyes are so dark they seem to absorb the light. It's a sharp contrast to his pale skin. He crosses the room, his steps echoing. He's not real,
This is not real. That's the only thing that keeps me from running. I don't need to be frightened of a phantasm. He can't hurt me. Not here. The thief steps up to me.
You didn't run.
You're not real, I say. A slow, creepy smile spreads across his face.
Is that what you think? That I'm not real?
He searches my face. Whatever he sees there makes him laugh.
You don't believe any of this is real, do you?
The hairs on my forearms rise. Just a dream, a really screwed up dream.
If none of this is real, then I guess you and I are free to do whatever we please.
He reaches out and runs a finger down the slope of my nose.
I could touch you, you could touch me. The Night King would never have to know. There are no repercussions for reveries, after all.
I sidestep him. If I touched you, I say, my claws still out, I doubt you would enjoy it. The thief once again steps into my space, forcing me to back up.
That's where you're wrong, Enchantress. I have peculiar tastes.
His eyes flick down to my throat and chest.
I've never been with a human, or a siren, or a mortal made fae, but I have been with women who fight back. That I have a healthy appetite for.
Healthy is the last word I'd use to describe the thief's fetishes. I go toe-to-toe with him. That wasn't the case when you were Carnon, I say softly. The way I remember it, you wouldn't touch a woman unless she was incapacitated. The thief of souls stares at me. There's something foreign and merciless in the dark depths of his eyes.
You have me entirely figured out, don't you?
He says.
The thief, too frightened to fuck a woman unless she's prone.
Before I get the chance to back away, he grabs me by the throat. Perhaps I could disprove that notion? This is just a reverie, after all. Just a twisted dream where a wicked man takes you against your will. My skin brightens.
You might even enjoy it.
His eyes dip to my skin.
I know I will.
My heart quakes at his rising interest, even as another insidious part of me is coming alive. He pulls me in close. The thief is going to kiss me, just as he did when he was Carnon, and perhaps he'll breathe that same vile magic into me now as he did then. Only this time I won't be immune to it. A human would struggle against this. A siren, however? Let him come closer. Let him think he has us. My eyes drop to his lips. I know you can wear the faces of the dead. He leans in, his lips skimming my jaw.
And to think I believed you'd never figure out any of it.
He releases my throat and I stagger back, massaging my raw skin.
Do you want to know something?
He asks. I gaze back at him with barely masked repulsion.
Mara met me more than once. The first time I was courting her sister.
Just like Janice, Mara once had a sibling. I'd almost forgotten. I rack my brain trying to remember her name. Talia. That's what it was. She was the Flora Kingdom's heir apparent, only she died before her time, falling on a sword or something like that. After... My eyes snapped to the thief. The traveling minstrel. That was you. A man had come to her kingdom and Talia had fallen hopelessly in love with him. The way I heard it, the whole thing had ended poorly. God, but how long ago was that? Centuries? All this time, the thief has been moving his pieces into place. His eyes seemed to smile.
I was an enchanter. I just happened to have a penchant for serenading young royals. You want to know something those histories never mentioned?
He pauses, and the silence of this strange place seems to close in on me. I never knew that something as insubstantial as silence could have such weight.
I fucked Mara then, too. To this day, she has no idea that I've been inside her as two separate men.
Nausea stirs low in my belly. Just a dream.
She was always the envious one, but especially then when her sister had everything and she had nothing. The first time we exchanged anything more than pleasantries was after it was known that Talia and I were together. She pulled me away at one of those frivolous parties, dropped to her knees, and, well, what she lacked in power or rank, she made up for with enthusiasm. I didn't even have to enchant her. Truth be told, at the time I didn't want much to do with her, but I just couldn't resist the temptation.
I grimace.
I remember how the story ends, I say. You were killed, I say.
Do the dead ever really die?
He asks. The same damn question he posed to me back in the Flora Kingdom. I can feel the answer right there on the tip of my tongue. I glance from the thief to the strange blooming vines, to the column he rested against just minutes ago, to the pool next to it. My ears begin to ring as I stare at that water. The longer I look, the more it seems as though it's shifting, whispering.
Save us! Save us!
Unwittingly, I take a step closer to it, my shoulder brushing against the thief's.
I wouldn't do that.
What is in that water? I can't seem to look away.
What does it matter? None of this is real.
The next morning, I do in fact skip the meeting, choosing instead to nurse my hangover. Praise Jesus for Fae medicine, that stuff totally works. By the time Des and Janice leave their meeting, I'm feeling loads better. The Day King nods when he sees me, his golden hair shimmering.
Calypso, he says formally.
Janice, may I have a word with you? There's something I need to say to the Day King in light of all I know. He gives me a peculiar look.
Of course, he says.
Behind him, Des slides his hands into his pockets and meanders over to a nearby guard, striking up a conversation. I pull the Day King off to the side. I owe you an apology, I say to Janice. Janice looks me over, his eyes a little wary.
He's afraid of us, my siren whispers, as he should be.
Actually, I amend, I owe you several. I take a breath. I'm sorry for acting like a fool yesterday. You and Desmond were just trying to do what was best for your kingdoms. I'm sure my thoughts on literally everything that crossed my mind were exasperating to hear. I'm sorry for glamoring you. I don't know how much Des has told you about sirens. Probably nothing, since Des's least favorite hobby is sharing. But sirens enjoy violence and sex. I can't glamour someone without that aspect of my nature surfacing to some degree. I'm not nice when I use my power. I'm sorry you had to experience it yourself. And now for the grand finale of apologies. Lastly, I'm sorry I blamed you for kidnapping me. I was mistaken. I didn't understand that at the time, but I do now. Janice gives me what might be his first genuine smile. It's unfair for anyone to be as pretty as he is, with his golden hair and bright blue eyes. He's the sun come to life, blinding in his beauty.
I appreciate the apologies, Calypso. Despite what you may think, your commentary yesterday lightened a very solemn talk, and I am thankful for that. As for the glamour, if I remember correctly, I was the one who insisted you show me your abilities. I will admit, enchanters give me pause. Power like that is dangerous in the wrong hands. I do, however, have reason to believe that you are the right sort of person to wield such magic, regardless of your base nature. As for the kidnapping, I cannot imagine enduring such a trial. Of course you are entitled to being confused and mistrustful. I don't know who or what you saw, but I do believe you.
He places a hand on my shoulder, his eyes intense. The room darkens a touch, but Janice pretends not to notice.
Your mate and I already have a strong alliance between our kingdoms, he says, his blue eyes burning bright. But we've never had a friendship to strengthen that unity. Perhaps, starting today, that can change.
His fingers press into my shoulder.
I personally vow that should the need ever arise, I will lend you my sword and my assistance.
It's not until Dez and I are back in the Kingdom of Night that I'm truly able to breathe again. The moment we step off the ley line and the cool evening greets us, I feel myself relax. God, I miss this place.
Getting sentimental, are we?
Dez says, tying his hair back into an itsy-bitsy bun. I try not to stare at the action, but his black sleeves bunch around his biceps, and the whole thing looks really, really good. I lift a shoulder. This place is growing on me, I say in all honesty. It didn't begin that way. Originally, I wanted nothing to do with the other world. But then I got kidnapped and grew wings, and going back to Earth just wasn't an option. And now, well, let's just say the other world has its perks. The bargainer's eyes shine in that way they do when I say something that moves him. You know, you're really cute when you go soft on me, I say.
I don't know what you're talking about,
he says, taking my hand and dragging me over to him. His eyes drop to my lips.
But you know what we should talk about? The fact that you got a king to swear his fealty to you.
I guffaw. I apologize to him, that's all.
And in return, he pledged you his loyalty.
Dez stops speaking when he catches sight of a guard hustling over. He watches the man, face impassive.
Your Majesty,
the soldier says when he gets to us, nodding first to Dez, then to me.
The sleeping soldiers. They've been talking nonstop since this morning.
Dez's features harden.
About what?
The guard's eyes slide to me.
Your mate.
When Dez and I enter the royal dungeon, the noise is nearly deafening. Dozens and dozens of voices are talking at once.
I want to speak with Calypso Lilis. I want to speak with Calypso Lilis. Speak with Calypso Lilis. I want to speak Calypso Lilis.
The door slams shut behind us, and like a spell being broken, the voice is quiet. In the silence that follows, my skin pricks. I begin to walk, Dez at my heels. You could hear a pin drop in this place, it's so quiet. As soon as we reach the first cells, I catch sight of the sleeping soldiers. They all stand at attention, their bodies rigid. Only their eyes move, following me as I pass by. That malignant magic tinges the air. I can smell the evil that's settled into these soldiers. It's still taking up residence in them like a parasite.
Who wanted to speak with me? I call out.
From several cells down, a low voice says,
You know who.
A chill slides down my spine. There's only one person who's poisoned this lot. The already dark dungeon block darkens further with the bargainer's displeasure.
This guy's got some brass balls,
he mutters under his breath. I step up to the cell the voice came from. Inside there are a dozen soldiers, all of them male. Their bodies are still covered in the gore they woke in, well, that and whatever blood spattered onto them during the battle. One of the sleeping soldiers steps forward. His skin is tawny, his eyes are hazel, and his plaited hair is dark brown. He smiles at me.
Hello, Enchantress.
Chapter 18 My siren claws at me, sensing how spooked I am. I step up to the bars, careful not to touch the iron.
What do you want?
The man begins to pace the length of the cell, his gaze never leaving mine. He doesn't answer, just continues to pace back and forth, back and forth. I let out a breath.
Come on, Dez, let's go. The thief is obviously too pussy to...
The entire dungeon begins speaking as one.
Is life but to wake, and death but to sleep? I'd tell you, but then, this secret I'll keep.
I'm not real now, nor was I last night. Or perhaps I'm wrong. Who's to say what's right?
My blood runs cold. In front of me, the soldier who first spoke to me now smiles. He tilts his head.
Are you having fun yet? This is our little game. You will lose soon enough.
Then you'll be mine to tame.
My conversation with the thief might have been a dream, but apparently it was real enough. That's what this is, a reminder that a dream is never just a dream. My skin begins to glow very softly. It's so at odds with my heart, which is racing, racing. I work my jaw. No one scares us. I step up to the cell and grab the iron bars, ignoring the pain as my skin begins to sizzle. I've got a rhyme for you, fucker, I say, my voice filling with glamour. Stop hiding behind your puppets, you stupid piece of trash. Oh, and take your lame riddles and shove them up your
Callie,
Dez says, prying my hands off the bars. The room's nearly pitch black. That's the first I sense of the bargainer's dark mood. Aren't I a poet? I taunt the soldier as Dez drags me away. My hands are smoking, but I can barely feel them over my rising fury. Dez pulls me away, and that's about when I realize that my wings have come out, the tips of them now dragging along the cool floor as the bargainer carts me back the way we came.
Not a poet, says one of the soldiers we pass by. A marked woman.
He's barely gotten the words out when suddenly the darkness closes in on him. In the next moment, Dez vanishes from my side. I hear the sound of steel slicing flesh and a choked cry, then nothing more. By the time the shadows dissipate, Dez is back at my side, his hand on my back. I stare at the spot where the fairy stood a moment before. Now he lays in a puddle of his own blood, his eyes glassy. Oh, shit. The bargainer lifts his chin, his own wings arching over his shoulders.
Not in my house, thief. Not in my house.
Dez wraps linen bandages around my hands, his own trembling as he does so. At his back, his wings are still out, and the room we sit in is mostly cast in shadow. His face is placid, but every so often his upper lip ticks. Down our bond, I can feel his immense rage. This is about the time where the bargainer begins breaking bones and making his victims beg for mercy. Only the thief is hiding somewhere not even Dez, Lord of Secrets, knows. My own rage, by contrast, fled some time ago. I stare at my blistered fingertips. Can't I just heal these with my magic? Expedited healing was supposed to be one of the perks of Fey power. Dez finishes wrapping one of my hands and sets it in my lap.
Iron doesn't.
He takes a deep breath, then starts again.
Iron wounds take extra magic to heal. But you could.
Will you show me how? I ask. The bargainer cups my injured hand between his. I can still feel him trembling with his anger.
Close your eyes,
he says. Is this... Are you showing me how to...
Close your eyes.
Reluctantly, mine flutter closed.
Now breathe in and out. In and out.
My breath whooshes into my lungs, my chest expanding as I hold it in. Then I exhale and the air rushes out of me.
Yes, just like that,
Dez says. I sense him taking his own advice, his hands steadying as they hold mine.
Now,
he says,
quiet your thoughts and focus them inward.
I'm as introspective as the next person, but I've never done this, never searched for the source of my magic. It's always just been there, and I've spent close to a decade trying to leash it, not to go hunting it down.
Where is your power?
It takes looking for my magic to truly notice where it lays within me. It's in the pit of my stomach. My core, really. It simmers there, right at my very center. This is where the siren slumbers when she's not busy terrorizing the world. And it's in my heart, right where my connection to Dez is anchored.
Focus on that magic,
Dez says.
And now pull on it. Pretend it's a ball of yarn and you're tugging a thread of it loose.
This is so weird. Okay, I say.
Now pull that thread up through your chest. Imagine it traveling past your ribcage and across your shoulders. Direct it down your arms and into your hands.
I do as he says, visualizing this power of mine as though it were a physical thing. I imagine it moving through me. When it gets to my hands, they heat like I'm holding them close to the fire. My eyes flutter open, even as I continue directing my magic to my palms. Des releases my hand and, unwinding the bandages, shows it to me. I stare at my fingertips. Before my eyes, the angry swelling diminishes. Holy crap! It's working! I'm healing myself! As the pulsing pain of my wounds lessens, my energy drains away. My siren is still there, but trying to rouse her into action would be difficult. I release my magic, letting it retreat back to my core. The worst of my injuries have healed, but my palm is still red and angry. My gaze moves from my hand to the bargainer. His wings are now hidden, and the shadows that cloaked the room have lifted. I glance around, surprised to see that we're sitting on a veranda of sorts, a room that's not quite inside and not quite out. A row of enormous archways look out over the city of Somnia. Des takes my hand once more.
You did good there, Cherub,
he says, beginning to rebandage it.
How do you feel?
Tired. The bargainer nods, wrapping the linen before tying it off. He brings my fingers to his lips, kissing the tip of each one.
Then we best get you to bed.
If the look in his eye is anything to go by, I'm not going to be doing much sleeping. Before I have a chance to drag him out of there so that he can properly tuck me in, chittering sounds come from beyond the archways. The pleasant night air blows in through them, and riding on the draft of wind are several pixies, all of them chattering away. They zip across the veranda on the gust of air, only stopping when they get to me and Des. One of them hovers right in front of Des. The others end up sitting on his shoulders, and mine like they have front row seats to a show.
Evening, Aura,
he says to the little fae. She says something back to him, her voice high and sweet.
Is that right?
Des says, his eyes narrowing.
Where is he?
Aura chatters away, gesturing wildly. The bargainer looks at me.
Temper and Malachi have found out where Galagar is hiding.
Chapter 19. I lean forward even as the pixies on my shoulders begin playing in my hair. Seriously, what is with these creatures and my hair? Where is he? The Night King's face is menacing.
Memnos.
He says the word like it tastes bad coming out. Memnos, the one island Des never took me to. The land of nightmares. Wait, I say, glancing at the pixie. How does Aura... She curtsies at the mention of her name, and I nod to her. How does Aura know this? The little pixies all begin chattering at once.
Pixies are my royal messengers,
Des says. One of the pixies playing in my hair stops and says something else, her little voice demanding. The bargainer raises his eyebrows.
Forgive me, pixies are royal messengers and spies.
I raise my eyebrows. That sounds like an important job. My words must have been the right ones because the pixies start to excitedly chitter. One of them flits in front of my face and studies my features before lovingly patting my cheek. Another one starts speaking animatedly to Des.
I'm not going to go to Memnos or Barbos right now. You can tell Malachi he'll just have to wait.
Angry chittering.
My mate is tired.
Another pixie comes over and begins to inspect my eyes, as though looking for signs of my sleepiness. The other pixie, meanwhile, is still arguing with Des. Eventually, she simply grabs Des's pointer finger and tugs, trying to rally him into action. It's an adorably pitiful sight. I'm pretty sure my mate shares the sentiment because the corner of his mouth lifts.
Where does she want us to go?
To Memnos, to slaughter the hateful tyrant Gallagher Nix. But short of that, Malachi has requested our presence in Barbos.
I really am tired, both from healing my wounds and from the long days we've endured, and I've been dreaming of Dez's bed for ages and ages. But there are two psychotic fae on the loose, and the sooner we deal with them, the sooner Dez and I can get on with our lives. I stand, causing the pixies hanging on to me to squeal. Then let's go. Dez stares up at me, unconcerned that a pixie is still pulling at his finger.
Cherub, you need to rest.
I'll rest eventually. The bargainer's eyes narrow. He stands, his chair scraping back. He steps in close, his large frame filling my vision.
You don't want to go to Barbos,
he says.
You want a break from this madness, and I want to give that to you.
His eyes have gone soft. They search my face like my unspoken thoughts are written there. Dez, if we wait, your father might slip away. I am tired, but I'll rest soon enough. I take Dez's hand and my bandaged ones. If we catch your father, he might be able to tell us where the Thief of Souls is. A muscle in the Night King's jaw ticks. So tempting, his features seem to say. He glances away from me. I give his hand a squeeze. Let's end this. His hand has started to tremble again. All that pent-up rage is fighting for release, and Dez is a dark enough creature that he can't deny it forever. Better to use it on his father. Finally, he closes his eyes and nods.
We'll go to Barbos, and we'll deal with Gallagher Nix.
Dez and I soar through the clouds, the stars twinkling down on us. God, have I missed this. There's no other sensation quite like flying. The pixies spin around us, laughing as they ride on the wind. Dez and I are a touch more somber, the two of us outfitted for battle. These are, after all, violent times. I ignore the exhaustion creeping through my bones. I'm pretty sure that, like a noob, I spent too much energy trying to heal my burns, and now I'm paying the piper for it. Can't believe how much energy that took. I've never actually experienced a deficit of magic. Ever. Yet healing two small burns has nearly tapped me of it. No wonder iron is so hated and feared among the Fae. It's painful and magically draining. My heart bleeds all over again for those soldiers Carnon kept prisoner. They were shackled in the stuff. Seriously, though, fuck the thief and all his sick deeds. I can almost hear his laughter in my head.
This is our little game.
Only he would think of all these depravities as some sort of game. The longer I think on it, the more my mind twists and turns, leading me back to that last strange dream.
Does the term small death mean anything to you?
He asked me. It was the one question that seemed to be more than just posturing and scare tactics. And of course, now that I'm level-headed, the term does mean something to me. I've heard it all over the place. Somnia is the land of sleep and small death. Dez used to be a member of the Angels of Small Death, and in another dream back in the Flora Kingdom, Gallagher Nix had mentioned small death. Now that I look for it, it's everywhere. I move in close to Dez. What's small death? I ask, shouting to be heard over the gusty air. I've never actually stopped to ask what the term means.
Sleep.
Dez says, his voice amplified by his magic. I think he's misheard me, but then he adds,
Fae consider the loss of consciousness, fainting, sleep, and so on, to be a brief taste of death. The individual is caught between worlds, and so we call this small death.
Huh. I guess that's kind of cool. Unhelpful, but cool.
Why do you ask?
I glance over at Dez. His eyes are too keen. Though he knows I've had nightmares about the thief, I haven't told him the specifics about my most recent dreams. I open my mouth to explain when a dark object manifests ahead of us. I catch a blur of white hair, hear the shrill cries of the pixies as they scatter, and then, next thing I know, the fae has me by the throat. I grab the fairy's wrist, trying to pry their hand from my neck when I catch sight of the beautiful fae. Those eyes, just like his son's. Galagar Nix grimaces at me, squeezing tighter, his upper lip curling in disgust. I could snap your neck right now and be done with it, slave. I drop a bandaged hand from his wrist, groping along my waist for one of my daggers. To think you've been walking the halls of my palace. My hand wraps around the hilt of my blade. Gotcha. Eating from my table. I unsheathe it. Sleeping in, I slam the dagger into his side, the blade sinking to its hilt. Galagar howls, his hold loosening long enough for me to suck in a grateful breath. I yank my weapon from his side. Bitch! He cocks his fist just as an ominous form appears over his shoulders. The bargainer leans in close to his father's ear, his hands gripping Galagar's wings. I was hoping to run into you. With that, he snaps his father's wings, the bones making a sickening crack as they break. Now Galagar begins to scream in earnest. He releases my throat as Dez pulls back his fist and slams it into his father's head again and again and again. I can feel my mate unleashing his wrath as the two men begin to plummet from the sky. Galagar disappears, winking into existence in front of me again. The bargainer follows suit, his wings flared menacingly at his back. But just as soon as Dez closes in on him, Galagar vanishes once more. It's that night in Mara's oak forest all over again, Dez and his father bleeding away into the darkness only to reform in another location. The Tyrant King is having trouble, though, his mangled wings bent grotesquely behind him. Galagar's form disappears yet again, only this time I don't see him reform. I feel him. His hands brace either side of my head. He's going to snap my neck. I can sense his intent in his very grip, even as gravity begins to drag the two of us towards Earth. Frantically, I call on my siren. If I ever needed my glamour, it would be now. She rises slowly, like she's moving through molasses. My skin begins to glow, only to dim. My siren retreats, my magic too exhausted to summon her. I jerk in Galagar's grip, trying to use my wings to shake him. But then Dez is there, and then Galagar isn't. And the whole thing happens so terribly fast that I get whiplash. I tumble through the sky, trying to right myself. The universe and all the stars in it spin around me as I fall through the sky. And then there again is Galagar, hand at my throat. I slash at him with the dagger in my hand, the blade catching him in the arm. Before he can retaliate, the bargainer manifests between the two of us, his position forcing his father to release my neck. In his own hand, Dez grips the sword he carries. With one swift thrust, Dez shoves his weapon into his father's gut. Galagar's eyes go wide as his son jerks it back out of his abdomen. That's the last I see of the Tyrant King as I continue to fall, a cloud swallowing me up. I desperately try to spread my wings, fighting against wind and gravity. Before I can right myself, Dez manifests next to me, scooping my body up in midair.
We need to get back to Somnia, now.
The flight back is nothing like the previous one. Dez won't release me, despite the fact that I'm fine, even if my throat is a little sore. He flies at a punishing pace, the wind howling in our ears as we speed across the sky. Where's Galagar? I ask.
Hidden back in whatever shithole he crawled out of.
I was wrong about Dez needing to release his rage. I don't think pummeling his father helped at all. If anything, he seems more tightly wound.
So he's still alive.
The King of the Knights' nod is barely perceptible.
Damn.
Galagar must be hurting. Two broken wings and a couple of gut wounds. Not to mention the punches to the head he sustained. The bargainer flies us directly to his chambers, landing silently on his balcony. He sets me on my feet, his wings flaring wide around me, as if to shield me from the world. Dez steps into my space, his face impassive.
but more than ever I can sense his tumultuous emotions, from the agitated arc of his wings to his rigid line of his shoulders. His eyes drop to my lips, and that's the only warning I get. Reeling me in, he takes my mouth savagely. His lips are fire, burning against mine. Take, claim, keep. Maybe he murmurs this, maybe I sense it from our connection, but those three words seem to be the driving force behind his manic energy. I can feel his wrath and his panic, his frustration and fear all tied up into the slide of his mouth against mine. I return it with equal intensity. I might be capable of living for centuries, but I can still die like a human can. I felt it there for a moment, when Gallagher was squeezing the life out of me, and again when I was falling. Just because Fae call themselves immortal doesn't mean they are. I part Dez's lips with my own, tasting his essence as my fingers delve into his soft hair. Behind me, I hear his balcony doors snick open. He lifts me again, wrapping my legs around his waist.
I need to be inside you,
he says hoarsely. I nod against him, my mouth going to his again. Nothing like a brush with death to make you feel amorous. I need to feel alive, and I think Dez does too. The bargainer steps inside, the doors clicking shut behind him. Not a moment later, my clothes melt off of me, magically removing themselves. Dez's clothes follow suit as he moves us to the bed. He's barely laid me on the bed and parted my thighs when he pulls me to him, thrusting deep inside me. I gasp as his thick cock stretches me, the sensation a pinch of pain, then pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. I revel in the feel of his muscular body pressing down on mine.
Gods above, cherub.
Dez kisses the juncture between my neck and shoulder as he slides out. He pistons in again. I lean my head back and moan as he fills me, stretches me. He's need, need, need. I can practically hear him.
Take, claim, keep.
The phrase echoes like a memory through my head.
This won't be gentle,
he warns, his entire body trembling as he dams up his wicked need. I grasp his hair, my grip tightening as I tilt his head towards mine. Your warnings are wasted on me. My fingers flex against him. You're not fucking some delicate flower, you're fucking me. A siren. The king of the night, who rules over sleep and sex, unleashes. He slams into me again and again, gathering me up in his arms, his gaze drinking me in. It's the oddest combo of male aggression and devoted adoration. His pace is punishing, and his strokes are deep, and I can't keep eye contact because, Jesus, my body is pure sensation, and I need to stop looking at him or I'm going to get an award for the world's fastest climax. Dez moves one of my legs over his shoulder, deepening his angle. I grip the blankets I lay on uselessly, my breasts bobbing from the force of each thrust. He touches my dim skin.
This is a first.
We're knee-deep in each other, and my siren hasn't stirred, my magic still replenishing. It's a strange sensation not having the siren share this experience with me. I feel naked in a whole new way. The bargainer takes one of my bandaged hands, threading his fingers through mine. His lips skim over my forehead, then my nose, then my lips, chin, throat. There they pause. He pauses, his entire body drawn tight. He kisses a trail across my neck, right where I'm sure bruises in the shape of his father's hand have appeared.
My beautiful nightmare,
Dez whispers against my skin.
My beautiful, beautiful nightmare.
With that, the bargainer thrusts into me again. I hiss out a breath as his pace picks up, his sweat-slicked chest gliding over mine again and again. I'm being lit up from the inside out. It feels like there's no place he hasn't touched. We're wrapped up in each other, our bodies entwined, our hearts magically bound up. Dez grips my hand tightly as though he's afraid to let me go.
Look at me, Callie,
he commands. Going to come if I do that.
He dips in close to kiss my cheek, all the while rocking in and out of me.
Last I heard, that's kind of the point. Now look at me.
I turn my gaze to his. Never has he looked so breathtaking. Never has he looked so fey, like the moon come to life. His silver eyes glitter, his white hair dangling loose between us. And it's that, not each aggressive stroke, that sets me off. I'm right there on the edge in an instant, and then I break. Dez sees the moment I climax, flashing me a wolfish smile. My gaze begins to drift as my orgasm lashes through me. I'm shattering to bits.
Don't look away,
Dez orders. I drag my gaze back to him. How to tell him it's all too much? Dez leans in, stealing a kiss from my lips as his strokes become more frantic. I catch his groan on my tongue as he gives in to his own need, his hips pumping furiously as he comes.
Take, claim, keep.
I hear the phantom words one final time, and then it's over.
It was an ambush.
Dez strokes my sweaty skin, holding me close. I'm sore in all the right places, and in a couple wrong ones, too. My throat, for instance, is starting to hurt like a bitch.
Somehow Gallagher knew where we were, and he intercepted us before we had a chance to locate him.
Around us, the myriad of lamps burn away, casting the Night King's chambers in low, flickering light. A pleasant breeze drifts through the painless windows. As far as night goes, this one's absolutely perfect, recent fight notwithstanding. Dez brushes a strand of my hair away from my face.
My father was going after you because we're mated.
I prop myself up, my gaze going to Dez's sinful mouth. My thoughts drift for a moment to all the things I want those lips to do to me. Things besides talking. Already the attack seems like a dream. It happened so fast, and then it was over. And now, well, here I am wrapped up in silk sheets and a muscly fairy. The bargainer's eyes drop to my neck. He reaches for it with his tatted arm, his fingers trailing over the bruises that are surely there. It's not over for him. His hand moves from my neck, sliding over the curve of my hip.
For most mated pairs, the death of one fairy means the death of both. In some cases, like Mara's, a fairy can outlive the other, but that's surprisingly rare. Most of the time, if you kill one, you kill both.
The bargainer's eyes rise to mine.
Gallagher attacked you because he rightfully believes ending you will end me.
My heart begins to pound a little faster. Rightfully? Dez's fingers squeeze my hip, his eyes looking feverish for a moment.
No part of me has any intention of outliving you.
That's a bucket of ice water to the face.
I don't want to talk about this, about my death or his. We're very much alive at the moment, and I don't really want to dwell on the alternative.
He's going to come after you again,
the bargainer continues.
The idiot actually believes you're an easier target.
The thought brings a shadow of a smile to Dez's lips for a moment. Gallagher is going to come after you again. Suddenly, every dark corner of the room seems like it hides monsters. What's to stop Dez's father from intruding on us right here, right now? The Night King must know where my thoughts are because he says,
"You're protected within the royal grounds. There are enchantments to keep out fairies like him,"
Dez says.
"That's likely why he ambushed us en route to Barbos."
Because there weren't enchantments along our flight path. So I'm stuck here. My stomach sours at the thought. Dez wraps his arm around my back, pulling me in close.
"You're not stuck anywhere, Cherub,"
he says, deadly serious.
"Tell me where you want to go, and I'll take you there right now."
My brows furrow. "You're not going to try to keep me here?" I don't touch on the fact that right now I don't really want to move an inch from this bed, content to spend the rest of my long life wrapped up in the King of the Night's arms.
"I will never keep you captive,"
Dez vows,
Better you happy and free than caged and safe. Besides,
he leans his forehead against mine.
Galagar clearly hasn't heard the stories about you if he thinks to target you.
There are stories about me? That's news. Dez's eyes crinkle, his lips pressing together.
Many. What fae can resist a story about the beautiful human who beguiles fairies and escapes the thief? They can't get enough of you. Unfortunately, my father and the thief seem to share that sentiment.
I lift a bandaged hand and stare at Dez's work. I should have listened to you, I say thoughtfully. I drop my hand. Back when you told me to rest.
I happen to have great ideas.
He agrees, his mouth curving fiendishly. His expression sobers.
But you made the decision a queen would, putting the kingdom's needs before your own.
Stop using that word. Queen.
It's going to happen one day or other, Queen Calypso.
Okay, I'll admit that has a nice ring to it.
What do you have against queens anyway?
Dez asks. I sigh. I just want to be a normal girl with a normal job who lives a normal life. I don't want to have to worry about an entire kingdom. The bargainer rolls us so that he can stare down at me.
Callie, you've never been a normal girl and you've never lived a normal life, so I can see the appeal of wanting that. But normal is overrated. Trust me, it's overrated. I've made deals with thousands of miserable, normal people.
I frown up at him.
And I'm sorry,
he continues.
But if you think I'm going to let you settle for normal, you've got a fight on your hands.
Damn it. Now that he's drawn lines, I'll never get him to budge. If there's one thing Dez is good at, it's fighting. Oh, and deals. And secrets. And sex. Screw it all, he's good at everything. It's annoying. This is just like high school, I say, remembering those days he roused or manipulated or bargained me into action. Mean, but effective. You trying to get me to do something you believe is in my best interest.
Tell me I'm wrong, Cherub. Tell me I'm pushy and bossy and that I don't know a thing about your deepest dreams.
See, that's the rub of it all. Now that I know he can hear shadows, he probably has heard all sorts of things about my dreams that I won't willingly admit. Things that prove him right. You're pushy and you're bossy, I say. He leans in and places a kiss along my sternum.
And I don't know a thing about your dreams. Say it.
I feel the breath of his magic wrapping around my windpipe. Only this time it's trying to pry the truth out of me, and the truth is that the bargainer knows a great deal about my deepest desires. He moves down my body, placing a kiss between my breasts.
I'm still waiting, love.
Dez keeps moving down my body, pressing kisses against my skin. But I stay silent, and eventually his magic dissolves away. The bargainer pauses, glancing up at me.
I love you, Callie, down to every last feather and scale. I love your darkness, I love your mind, I love your humor and your most coveted dreams. And I love how you love me, wholly, deeply, passionately. You're not normal. You'll never be normal. I'm so sorry to tell you that. You are so blindingly extraordinary that it physically hurts me sometimes, and I'll never stop pushing you to believe this.
Dez can't just say things like that. My weak heart isn't fit enough to take it. I close my eyes and draw in a shaky breath. Give it back.
What is it I've taken, Cherub?
My peace of mind, my loneliness, my torment, my pain, my sanity, my dull little life. So many things that once made me, me, are now missing, and Dez, I don't know who I am.
You don't know who you are?
The bargainer's voice drops low.
You're Calypso Lilis, plain and simple. You were her yesterday, you'll be her tomorrow. It's up to you to decide what being you actually means. No one else can do that for you. Not the man who gave you those wings, not the man who's hunting you, Not your stepfather, not even me.